Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you and we magnify your name. Amen. I'm going to start a message that I'll have to complete tonight. If you open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, what I have been finding out, not just in this church, but churches all around the city, all around the country, that unfortunately, there are what you call casualties of war. In any great war, there is always going to be casualties. Amen. How many understand that? Some wars, there are more casualties than others, but there will always be casualties. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, there will be casualties of war, but not me. Look at somebody else and say, there will be casualties of war, but not me. Amen. You have to refuse to become a casualty of war. You have to set up in your heart and in your mind that you will not become a casualty of your circumstance. You will not become a casualty of your situation. You will not become a casualty of your sickness. You will not become a casualty of your mindset. You will not become a casualty of your family. You will not become a casualty of your beliefs. You will not become a casualty of circumstance and trial and tribulation. You will not become a casualty of war from these things. You are in a warfare, and you must understand that. Most folks sitting around thinking they're not in a warfare. They thinking God fighting the battle for them. No, he wants you to fight the battle. That's why he equipped you with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the gird up your loins with the word of truth. That's why he equipped you with your feet shod with the preparation of peace. He equipped you to go to war. And if you're not warring, you're a casualty. Chapter 30, the first verse of 1 Samuel says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Well, I assumed that when I first read this, that when he was talking about how they had attacked Ziklag, the Amalekites, I thought that was the main picture here, but I found out that it's not. If you look at the word men, it means Enosh, or the word Enosh means to be sick, to be wrecked, to be weak, and to have inability. What does that have to do with this? When you war for so long, you become sick. After you've warred for so long, you lose the inability to want to fight. After you've warred for so long, you fought against your circumstance, and you fought against your trial, and you fought against tribulation. You tend to lose that which God has given you. That's why you have to mount up with wings as an eagle and soar into the sky, realizing that God has given you strength. You can't allow your mindset to separate you from your deliverance. You can't allow your mindset to separate you from your healing, and you can't allow your mindset to separate you from your blessing. They were tired. They were weary. They were beaten down because of all the battles they had been in, Brother Tim. The different battles and fights they had been in sometimes will wear you down or make you wonder, where is God? Is God here? Why aren't you fighting this battle for me, Lord? Why are you allowing me to go through this? But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And as long as you stand fast on the word of God and be unmovable and abound in the work of the Lord, you will find out that God is with you all the time. That's why his name is Emmanuel, meaning God with you. And one thing about this, he don't never change. He the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was a warrior yesterday, he's a warrior today. And if he's a warrior today, he'll be a warrior tomorrow. All he's looking for is a few good men. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God. So they were worn out and were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. If you look at the south, it's Nego, or it means the south country, or it's talking about the southern part of Judah. Don't you know that when you go to war with the enemy, that it wants to attack your praise? It wants to attack your praise. Because if it can infiltrate your praise, it can stop God from moving in your life. People that have lost their praise don't have no victory. People that don't have no praise can't get no healing. People that don't have no praise can't stay blessed. People that don't have no praise don't have no peace in their mind. The enemy wants to get into your praise and attack your praise. Why? Because it realizes that you're already beaten down from fighting against your trial. You're already beaten down from fighting against your tribulation, against your affliction, against the persecution. But I got news for you. God said he would raise up a standard for you. My God. Hallelujah. Casualties of war, but I'm not going to be one of them. You have to make up in your mind that you're not going to be one of them. They looked down upon Ziklag and it had been smitten and burned with fire. Sometimes God wants to burn up something that you own. It may look good, Brother Tim, and it may smell good, and it may sound good, but God wants to burn it up because it's keeping you from him. Y'all don't want to hear this morning, do you? He wants you to let it go. And had taken the women captives. Oh, my God. That was the worst thing that could have happened. They already done burned up the town, but then they took all the people captive. They took them captives to show them that we got your joy. We got your strength and we got your peace. But you got to realize you got to go to God. Stop going to this one and stop going to that one. Stop having faith in this and faith in that. Put your faith in God. When they took the women captives that were therein, they slew not any. They didn't kill them, didn't want to kill them. Don't you know that the enemy don't want to kill you no more? He just wants you to fall by the wayside so that he can have victory. His victory is having you fall by the wayside. Because if he messes around and kill you now, if you die in the Lord, where you going? You're going straight to heaven. Those that die in the Lord go to heaven. He's trying to make you miss heaven. He wants you to fall off. I used to think he wanted to kill us, Brother Tim, but no, he wants you to fall off. Because if he kills you in the state you're in now, you will see Jesus. Oh, y'all not hearing me. He don't want you to see Jesus. He wants you to fall off and get caught up in your trial. Get caught up in what you're going through. Get caught up in your emotions so that you will forget that God made you a promise. That God spoke a word into your spirit. That God told you you can live and not die. That God said you can have joy and that you can have peace and not sorrow. That you can be encouraged and not discouraged. And the enemy wants to take that away from you. But I've got news for you. You have to realize something. God is your strength. He is your power. He is your authority. And it don't matter what you're going through. If you put your faith and your confidence in God, not only will he bring you through, but he'll enhance the vision that you have. Hallelujah. Oh, didn't kill them, but just carried them away and went on their merry little way. You know that made them mad. They're already disgusted. They've been out fighting. Then they come back and find out while they're out fighting for God, somebody come into their land and destroy. And you know you got to be wondering, Father, I'm out fighting for you. Why you can't protect what you gave me? You're supposed to protect what you gave me, Lord. They're not supposed to be able to come up in here and attack my praise. Yes, they can. Most times, we open the door so they can attack it. If they knew they were going to war, they should have left somebody there with the women and children. Well, it's quiet in this house. David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, meaning it was burning. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever been through so much hell that you cried that you just couldn't, no more tears would flow down? You yelled at the top of your lungs till you just lost your voice. And it didn't accomplish nothing. All you had was a sore throat and dry tear ducts. When God just wants you to have faith in him. Every everything that you go through is to take you to a place of faith. It's to move you into a new realm of faith. So that you can trust God for the unbelievable. You can have faith in God for the unexpected. You can have faith in God for things that you don't even believe you can have yourself. But there's something down on the inside of you called faith that's living and it's breathing and it's moving and it's manifesting. And it'll do something. It'll stir up your soul. It'll stir up the gift of God within you. And it'll cause you to stop looking at things with your natural eye and start looking at things through faith. And when you see things through faith, you can see the big picture. You can see the whole picture. When you see things through faith, you can see the blessing. When you see things through faith, you can see your healing. When you see things through faith, you can see your deliverance. When you see things through faith, you can have whatever you say. Oh, my God, Rev. They took them captives. That's a disgrace. That's a disgrace when they come into your town and take your people captives. They would rather you kill them and leave them. But they took them captives. Now they got to figure out a way to get them back and do what? Save face. We spend so much time trying to save face instead of doing the word, will of God. Amen. Oh, what does it say about this? Oh, no more power to weep. They had no more authority. They had no more ability to weep. Sometimes that's a good thing. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, whatever her name is, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Said he was greatly, wasn't just distressed, he was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him. Let me tell you something. When God puts you in a position, everybody ain't going to like the position that you've been put in. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's fine and dandy when everybody praising him. But sooner or later, there's some fire going to come into your life where the praise is going to get swallowed up. And you're going to have to fight to get it back. That's at the time that you find out that them that say they love you don't love you. Them that say they care about you don't care about you. Them that want to encourage you no longer encourage you. But that's when you find out that your faith and your confidence has got to be all the way in God. They're ready to stone David. Now they done had all these campaigns where they done went out and fought. And God know that David is with God. But because something they've lost, something that's did to them, they want to kill him. Folks in the church get mad at me. They get mad at them. They might get mad at you and decide that you're the reason that they got to leave. Well, see ya. If you're going to leave God because of me, then you missed out anyway. You're not here for me. You're here to serve God. You here to worship God. You here to magnify his name. Folks, we done forgot why God saved us. God saved us and brought us into a church so that we can do ministry. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Don't be looking at me like that, Sister Val. Oh, my God, my God. God brought you here to do ministry. And if you ain't doing ministry, then you a casualty of war. Don't nobody know you saved, you a casualty of war. Don't nobody know what you believe in, then you a casualty of war. Don't nobody know what church you belong to, then you a casualty of war. Don't nobody know that your God is Jehovah, you a casualty of war. You already defeated. But by God, we ain't trying to be defeated. You will find out who I am. Paul said you will know me by the works that I do. And I'm not doing works to be a chobo or a big-headed man. But our works that I do come from the Lord Jesus. And you will know me by the life that I live. You will know me by the nature and the character of God. I'm not trying to tell you something. The people, the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You better manifest yourself so that they'll know that we are alive. Poor David. He was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Well, everybody upset at David. Oh, woe is me. If he hadn't took us all off, we'd have been here. Don't go there, Dennis. If he hadn't took us all off, we'd have been here, and we wouldn't have lost our wives. We wouldn't have lost our sons, and we wouldn't have lost our daughters, and we wouldn't have lost our cattle, and we wouldn't have lost our sheep if he had just left us alone. But sometimes, baby, you got to go to war. And anytime you go to war, there's going to be some kind of casualty back at the home front. But what you have to understand, that if you are fighting for God, God will fight for you. After a while, David said, the most important little word here is the word but. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But! Sometimes you have to put an exclamation point on what's happening around you. Huh? They say you're sick and you're going to die. But you say, but! They say you'll never be blessed, but you say, but. The doctor say you'll never be healed, but you say, but. Your children will never be saved, but you say, but. There are things you've been praying for that they say will never come to pass, but you say, but. They say, well, you're not anointed enough to get that, but you say, but. What you say when they say they can't, you can't do it. You say, but my God is able. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So I say, but David says, but David encouraged. Oh my God. He encouraged himself. He didn't wait on God to come down and sit next to him, but he encouraged himself. He didn't wait on God to come down and give him a word, but he encouraged himself. He didn't wait on the angel to come by and stir up the water, but he encouraged himself. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. The word encourage in the Hebrew means to strengthen. Oh, see that word encourage, it means to strengthen. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Yeah, but see, a lot of us have a problem with doing that because you can't strengthen yourself with something that you don't have. Oh, it's quiet in this house for real. It is what it is. If you got a watered down word in your spirit, you're going to have a watered down strength and you ain't going to be able to stand. It says the man of God encourage himself. Look here, self. You may have took my wives, but I'm still blessed. Look here, self. They may have took all my animals, but I'm still blessed. Look here, self. They may have taken all my children, but I'm still blessed. Look here, self. They may have took all things, but I'm still blessed. Look here, self. They might be getting ready to stone me. But what they don't recognize, if they stone me, they can't kill me because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. I'm still blessed. So whatever comes my way, affliction can't stop me. I'm still blessed. Sickness can't destroy me. I'm still blessed. Hell can't freeze me up, but I'm still blessed. Trouble can't stop me. I'm still blessed. Hurricanes can't blow me out, but I'm still blessed. But I strengthen myself. I encourage myself. I lifted myself up because I know that the Lord is able and I can do all things through him. Come on and praise him this morning. He encouraged himself. David said, called to the priest and said, look here, enough is enough. Sooner or later, you got to look into your own little beady eyes. Get yourself in a mirror and look into your eyes and say, you know what, self? Enough is enough. I had enough of this foolishness. David said, get me the ephod. Oh, he getting ready to go to God. They mad at me. They want to kill me, but get me the ephod. They took all the children, all the women, and all the cattle, and all, but get me the ephod. Ephod is something that a priest wears over him. It's a priestly garment. David said, get me the priestly garment. My flesh is worn against me. But if you bring me what I have need of, I can prepare myself to reach God. In all your hell, you got to still prepare yourself. All your trouble, you still got to prepare yourself. All your trial, you still got to prepare yourself. You got to seek God with all that you have. Pray, manifest the things of God. You got to go after God. David said, bring me the ephod. He didn't tell the priest to pray. He didn't tell the priest to wear the ephod. He said, no, priest, you bring it to me. And it says, and David inquired at the Lord. He didn't inquire of the Lord. Y'all missed that. He didn't inquire of the Lord, but it says he inquired at him. Meaning that he talked to him. Meaning that he didn't have to go someplace and find him. He knew that whatever he was going to say to God, God was going to hear it. You have to have faith in God to understand that when you speak to him, he hears you. My God, I got to close out. David inquired at the Lord saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Everybody's sitting around crying. Now he done encouraged himself and he done strengthened himself in the Lord. Guess what he ready to do again? We got to go back to war. They thought they had me, Sister Metcalf. Thought they tore me down. Thought they had me broken. Thought they had me discouraged. Thought I wasn't going to go back to war. Thought I was going to be a little wimp about this thing. But I done strengthened myself in God. Now I'm going to go to God and hear what the Lord have to say. David inquired at the Lord saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overthrow them? And he answered. Baby, when you lay all that mess aside, when you lay your emotions aside, and you lay your hurt aside, and you lay your trials aside, and you lay your tribulation aside, and you lay your anxiety aside, and you go to God, and you ask God, can you overtake them? And God will give you the answer that you need. And he answered him, pursue! Oh, my God. God said, pursue! After you don't encourage yourself in God and you go to God and he tells you pursue, you better get going. Well, Lord, I heard what you said, but I'm not sure, so I'm going to lay down a fleece. You better burn it up. If God tell you to go, you better go. Oh, my Lord. God said, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Why? Why did this happen? Because in the midst of everything that was going on, in the midst of all of his men being discouraged and beat down and discouraged, in the midst of him being discouraged, he found a way to encourage himself and strengthen himself to realize that what God brought him through in the past, God could bring him through again. What God did in the past, he could do now. And he realized that and he encouraged himself. Lord, I know what you did for me in the past. I know you will do it again. I know how you protected me against Saul. You can do it again. I know how you allowed me to defeat Goliath. I know I can do it again. So God said, pursue. David got himself up, got himself adorned, put his war things on, put his helmet on, his garments on, and he went to war. Why? Because he was a warrior. If you're a warrior in God, yeah, there's going to be some casualties. But if you seek God and you stay before God, you better believe you won't be one of them. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God told him, you shall surely overtake them and without fail. Once you catch up with them, without fail. Now it's a miracle in itself that he's going to catch up with them. Because they got 2 or 3 days journey on it. But God said, you shall catch them and without fail. Oh, my God. Don't that sound good? God said, without fail. What was he saying? Without fail, you shall recover all. You don't hear me. You shall recover all. Everything. When you encourage yourself in God and you make your way because God told you to. Everything that the cankerworm and the caterpillar has tried to devour, you will recover. You say, well, why didn't you say the devil? Because he can't take nothing from you. He can't take a cotton-picking thing from you. You could try to give it to that fool, and he have to give it back. My God, my God. But you just have to trust God. You, what's that song? I'm on my way to Canaan land, baby. I'm on my way to Canaan land. And I got news for you. If you don't go, don't hinder me. Because I'm going on my way to Canaan land. God said, pursue and you shall overtake them and you shall recover all. God said, you're going to recover all things. But you got to pursue. You can't sit there on your seat and do nothing and expect to pursue and receive all that God has for you. You got to get busy doing the things of God. Because I don't know whether you forgot or not. Only what you do for Christ is going to last anyway. Well, praise you, Brother Tony. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. You want to finish this, Rev? My God, my God. Come on and give God some praise. I'm going to tell you something. God spoke to me. God told me that I wasn't dedicated enough to him. I wasn't dedicated enough to his ministry. Told me I had to die out some more. The things I had to do. Hallelujah. Just for me. Not for you, but for me. And that's what God was saying. The only way that you won't be overwhelmed or become a casualty of war is to seek God. And a lot of us waiting on God to seek us out. And God wants you to seek him out. What does the simple scripture say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. That means what? If you seek God, you shall recover all. I like that I can recover all. You may be seated. Amen. Woo, Lord, have mercy. My God, my God, my God. Heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. So you can sit back in your lazy boy chair with your feet kicked up, waiting on God to bless you and miss out on what God has for you. Or you can get out of that chair and start running this race and fighting this fight. When Paul was getting ready to get out of here, he said, I have run a good race and I have fought a good fight. What he was saying was, I was a warrior of the cross. And if you came against me and you wasn't like God, you took a beating. He wasn't no joke. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise.